This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
¿Hablas español?
¿Sprichst du Deutsch?
¿Kann du Deutsch?
If you used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based techniques teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/Spotify. Spelled BABBEL.com/Spotify. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you look at what has happened to football in the United States, as again, soccer in the United States, we seem to never call it that because we have a little bit of a conflict with another thing that's called football. But when you think about it, shouldn't it really be called? I mean, this is football. There's no question about it. We have to come up with another name for the NFL stuff.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense.
So for more on that and strong-arming the NFL to give up the name football, here's the guy that can make it happen, Alexi Lalas, also of Fox Sports. Alexi, have you made progress with Roger Goodell trying to get the name football and then just give him soccer, I guess?
Actually, Brian, by the way, it's great to see and hear you. I disagree with our president when
it
comes to this. Nice. I think that we should be proud and loud about calling it soccer. We should lean into it. And I think it makes us look at times weak or capitulating to change what is historically football here in the United States. It's not a problem. Don't ever apologize for calling it soccer. And that's what I would tell President Trump or anybody else out there. But he's also a very smart man in that moment, in that instance, in front of that audience, a global audience. He knows how to create a narrative. He knows how to create a story. He knows how to poke at the bear out there. And that's exactly what people are talking about. And it's fun. And look, ultimately, this is about spreading the news about what is coming next summer. And when it comes to President Trump, I think there is no more bigger fan for what is about to come next summer. I've called him, when all is said and done, I think he's going to go down as the soccer president in terms of the just sheer amount of soccer that emanates from the White House and the Oval Office and obviously from President Trump. And I think he is a smart politician and a smart man and recognizes the platform, the opportunity, and the responsibility for next summer, regardless of what people call it.
All right, so Lexi, 94, we had the World Cup. I was in Las Vegas, the big draw. Last week, it was in Washington, D.C., and now the country is well aware of the magic of soccer. What did you think of the draw, the coverage, the pageantry, the celebrities? Bring us behind the scenes.
Well, it generated a tremendous amount of news, which is what it was designed to do. I was down there in D.C., and it was crazy from start to finish. Everywhere you looked, there was somebody else, whether it was former legends, whether it was celebrities, whether it was musicians, obviously politicians. And there was something for everybody on that stage, backstage, on the side of the stage, and everywhere else. But ultimately, the groups were decided, and so became very, very real for a lot of people, including the teams and the coaches who were there, as to who they're going to play. But I think it also kind of cut through into the mainstream so that everybody recognizes that in, 180-some days, this is coming back to our shores. It is our responsibility and our opportunity next summer, and I think a lot of people that maybe didn't know about it now know about it. But on that stage, it was nuttiness from start to finish.
Right. So we know you explained it so effectively. We were in the pot with the number one seeds because we're the host country. Mm-hmm. And we do go in with getting, we know we're going to play Australia and we know we're going to play Paraguay, two teams we recently beat. On the third team, we're still waiting. But first on those two games, your thoughts?
So when Group D, which is what the U.S. is going to be in, and keep in mind that there are 12 groups of four in the World Cup, and it's round robin in group play, so you'll play three games, and then the top two teams from your group go out, and then potentially best third place teams. But listen, when I saw this group, I started to compare it in history. I'm an old guy. I started to compare it to all the other groups the U.S. has had in previous World Cups. I cannot for the life of me find another group that's even close in terms of salivating for opportunity here. Now, I know people don't like to say it's easy. All right, no group is easy. I get that. But there are groups that are easier. This is not just a winnable group, but I think you should expect your team under new coach Mauricio Pochettino to win this group. As you mentioned, Paraguay, Australia, and then a team to be named later in March from Europe. But all three games are going to be winnable. All three games you should expect your team to win and ultimately come out first in that group. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying they can't screw it up. But I'm sick and tired of low expectations when it comes to this team. And I don't think I'm being unfair by saying that they should win this group.
So here's the coach who was on CBS on Monday, I think it was, talking about the team. Go to the top one if you can, Eric.
The message that I received, some people said, oh, coach, I want to play for you, and he's playing I don't know where, you know, in the rest of the world. But I think it's really tough because I've seen we have a pool of 70-plus players that we were using in the last year, and I think the competition is there.
What are you looking for? I want to know what
I'm looking for. The best of the things is to be able, the player, you know, to let us to coach. Not to think too much, respect the rules, show commitment, because I think, and the most important, like you say, that was perfect, the right player to defend our flag, our badge.
Of course.
It's our culture and all that represent that society, that is America, that you are a winner.
Of course.
I am a winner too, because I come from Argentina.
But
I think that is the most important, is to represent in the best way our values, no?
That's interesting that he's tapping into American values as a coach from elsewhere. And you have told me that you think the team's playing a lot better.
Yeah, I'm in a much more bullish place than I was even a few months ago. And at times I've been critical, I think fairly so, of Mauricio Pochettino. But I think I'm coming around to whatever madness there is. I think there is a method to it. But it's interesting, you know, also in some of the interviews that Mauricio Pochettino has done, he's referenced the movie Miracle. I think he recognizes that there is a core ethos there when it comes to a national team and a team that's going to represent the United States. It isn't about the best players. It's about the best collection of players. And I think that's what he has gone about doing. And reconfirming the fact that it doesn't matter where you play, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter who your girlfriend is or anything like that. All he cares about is you're going to run through a wall. All he cares about is there's a ruthlessness in your play. And so you could be a player from Major League Soccer. You could be a player that's playing over in Serie A. It doesn't matter to him. And I think ultimately when that team takes the field next summer, he will have done his due diligence and amassed the best collection of players to represent what I feel is the greatest country in the world. By the way, on our 250th birthday.
Right. So I'll know that they're ready to win if I see them singing the national anthem like other countries, that they care about it that much. Maybe somewhere in the flag. You know, 5 years ago, we were hoping they would stand. You know, now we're just hoping they pay attention and maybe sing it. I know they know the words. A lot of times they put them on the scoreboard if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's a simple moment, and it is a simple moment, but it's incredibly powerful. And for example, I remember a couple of World Cups ago when Panama went to the World Cup for the first time, all right? They got their ass kicked. But it doesn't matter, because all I remember is in that moment when the camera panned down the line of players as they stood there waiting to play their first game in history, and they were singing that national anthem, and tears were streaming down the players' faces. I saw the pride that they had in their country, in their countrymen and women, and the opportunity on a global stage to represent their country. And we want that from a U.S. team. At times, we have not seen that. I hope we see it this summer, and I hope that when people tune in, they see a team that they can fall in love with and they can be proud of from the moment that that song starts till the final whistle of the game.
Who could be that team the third game? Is it Turkey, Kosovo, or Slovakia? And when do we find out?
Yeah, so we have Slovakia, Kosovo, Turkey, and we call it, by the way, it's Turkey A now. They have rebranded, so it's Turkey A,
really?
And then Romania. And those are all beatable teams. They could come in and do some damage here. But again, you should be going to sleep tonight feeling much better about the chances of this U.S. team next summer relative to the group that they got down in D.C. at the draw.
So here's my worry about. they picked the two most un-American cities in America, Los Angeles, and Seattle. I mean, are they going to even be cheering for us, or is it going to be like an away game?
I mean, you know, Seattle's going to Seattle, and I live in Los Angeles. Somebody's got to go, you know, behind lines there and try to fight for what's common sense.
Would you play there? Let me ask you something. You know the teams we're playing. Do you really think we'll get a majority American audience? It's not like we're playing a South American team. Will they be cheering for us in Los Angeles?
Yeah. I do think that the U.S. is going to have a pro-U.S. crowd when it comes to, and keep in mind, first game, like you said, is against Paraguay at SoFi Stadium in L.A. Second game against Australia is up in Seattle. And that third game with that team to be named later is back in Los Angeles. And a lot of the games that the U.S. progresses through are going to be on the West Coast for the U.S. They've tried to regionalize to limit travel out there. Yes, I do think that there's going to be support.
With the holidays coming, that means more gift buying and more deliveries to the front door. It made me think about how I should upgrade my security to keep away the porch pirates and keep my delivery safe. I went with SimpliSafe because it's proactive. Traditional systems react after a break-in. SimpliSafe can help stop a crime before it starts. That's because SimpliSafe keeps your home safe with a double layer of defense. First, you got cameras detecting potential threats, and then live agents confront them while they're still on the outside of your home before they have a chance to do any damage, telling them they're on camera and telling them the police will be dispatched if they do not leave. That's right, if they don't leave. That's why I trust SimpliSafe at my place to help protect my family, keep an eye on the dogs, and watch those deliveries, because real security stops crime before it starts. Right now is such a good time to get SimpliSafe. This month only, get 50% off any new system. Go to simplysafe.com/Brian. Again, that's simplysafe.com/Brian. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian. And we're talking to Lexi Lawless if you listen on the radio, but if you're watching the stream, Lexi's has a great podcast and he's on television right now. So we're streaming together. So Lexi, a couple other things. It's important to come in first, right? Don't just get through to the knockout round, which means one and done. You lose, you're out. So you got to come in first, because then you play that third place team if you're the best in the other group. So you want to avoid England, Argentina, Brazil, and Spain, right? Would you say those are the big four? Those are the monsters when you need the miracle-like victory?
Yeah, I'd put France in there too,
Okay, certainly,
France. In terms of the elite. And look, at some point, we're going to have to beat an elite team. But you want that pathway to get to that point as clear as possible. And keep in mind, this is the largest World Cup in history. Okay, as we mentioned, 48 teams, 104 games. It also adds another knockout round. So there's a round of 32. And if the U.S. finishes first, they're going to get an quote-unquote easier opponent in that knockout round in the round of 32, and then you win the round of 32, you get to the round of 16, which is always where the U.S. has kind of faltered, where we go up against teams that people assume are better than us. So I think there is a wonderful pathway for this U.S. team given the group that we have, but at some point they're going to have to live up to the expectations that we have. Again, not unrealistic expectations, and do things that we haven't seen before.
So I don't like to catch you blindsided, but do we know their practice schedule? Do we know their friendly games that they have lined up building up to this?
Yeah, in March, they have Portugal and Belgium. And then right before the World Cup, which is a little hard because you're trying not to get hurt, they have Germany and Senegal. So some really good teams as far as warm-ups going forward. They will be, like I said, training in Southern California, in Los Angeles, because that will be their kind of home base, as a lot of teams will have home bases either in or around the cities that they're playing in. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really interesting summer of soccer next summer.
Will you go out to the training sessions? And if you do, what do you look for, knowing that people are trying out as well as gelling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coaches don't like to give too much away. It's really interesting when they talk about training sites, because being sequestered and secluded is really important to a lot of these teams. And some of them are kind of, you know, there's too much viewing. And so they really like to be private and keep everything in-house before they get to the actual games. But to the extent that they will let us watch training, that's great, because you try to find some sort of little thing here. The interesting thing from this World Cup is I think that yours truly and those of us that do studio, rather than being kind of stagnant, I think we're going to be on the road a whole lot more. And that makes sense given the size of this World Cup, with Canada and Mexico involved and all these different places and all these different host cities that are having games.
So what kind of per diem does Alexi Lalas get? I mean, what did you build into your contract when you travel?
Come on, man. This is a labor of love here. I would pay to be able to do this. I have the best job in the world. They can pry it from my cold, dead, redheaded American hands. And they're all coming. All the young ones are coming, my friend. But you know what? I can fight them off here, at least for a little longer.
Oh, you got a lot of time left. But I just can imagine. I need a suite. I need a penthouse. I need an ocean view. Does that sound familiar? Like
no,
some of the riders?
No, that's not me. I'm a man of the people, bro. I'm here. I'm hanging out. I'm having beers. I mean, this is a party here. I want to be involved. Yes, I got to do my job, and yeah. I will do it well. But I also want to, you know, kind of feel and smell and taste the sounds of a World Cup.
And lastly, this is just curious. I know that Barkley and I don't think Shaq, but I know Barkley sometimes can be very critical in the NBA of players and they get mad at him. You are also very outspoken. Have the players of different, you know, that you have, now that you're a commentator, have they let you have it? Like, hey, I don't think you're being fair to me. Have they got mad at you when you actually go out and see them?
Sure. And it means you're kind of over the target if that's happening. I have had players, I have had coaches, I have had front office people, I have had wives, girlfriends, parents, grandparents, children, at some point come to me and vent their frustration with something that that I have said. Oftentimes I will forget what I have said. And in that moment, and I'm sure Charles or anybody else would say, you just got to let them get it off their chest. And when they do, things are a whole lot better. And it comes with the territory. My job isn't to tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. My job isn't to, you know, sugarcoat anything. It is to be honest with the American people when it comes to what I see. You can agree. You can disagree. That's what makes America great. And then we go from there.
And do you still get very nervous when you talk to me? Or is that you over that?
I'm a little bit starstruck each and every time that I come on your show, given your prowess and your stature in the industry.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you make it so comfortable for all of your guests that come on the show. And you're a soccer guy at heart.
So thanks for picking up when I said a year and a half ago that David Beckham knew the language when he came over because he spoke English. And you went to bat me. I was being sarcastic because he only spoke British. And you were the only one to go, Brian's being sarcastic.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, I got your back, my friend. I got your back.
Appreciate it.
Hey, it won't be the last time you say something controversial. I mean, you're right there with me.
Yes, Google me. There you go. Alexi, thanks so much. Great job over the weekend. I also love the MLS Cup. I thought that was awesome. It looked for a while like Miami was on the ropes and they were done, and they end up scoring two goals. And
congratulations
then
to Messi and Beckham and Jorge Mas down there and what they've done. Pretty in pink down there.
Finally, Messi thinks it could break in his way. You know, he's gone through such a cold streak. Alexi Lalas, thanks so much.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.